ghost or walking, a blind man can see, a leper is clean, the captive set free, a woman rejoices, for her son did not die, and all these things happen when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by, when Jesus passed by, now gone were all my heartache, my troubles and strife. Just reach out and touch him, and he'll hear your cry. When Jesus passed by. Now I was a beggar, unwealthy without, I was needy within, I was so needy within. Then the King became my Savior, now his riches are mine. I became God's child when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Troubles and strife, just reach out and touch him, and he'll hear you cry, and you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by, and you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by.
Numbers chapter 11. Amen. Numbers chapter 11. And we're going to read in verses 10 through 15 here. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom. As a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. I ask you to help us for just a minute this morning that we might be an able minister of the word of God to preach the word that you've given. And Father, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our ears that we might hear and receive. And Father, you just might bless this time that we have now together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The very first two words here in verse number 10, it said, then Moses. Then Moses. Now, I want to preach to you this morning about afflictions, and specifically the afflictions of God's servants. It says here, then Moses. Not just anybody, but Moses. And when you look and you read the Bible, what a part that Moses played in what God was doing with the nation of Israel. When he was born, amen, he was hid by his parents. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised up in Pharaoh's house. Amen. And it came time that he saw how the Egyptians were treating the Israelites. He actually killed one of the Egyptians. And when it was known, he fled. God spoke to him and by the burning bush. And now God has used him and called him to go to Egypt to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And so he's done all of this. Amen. He's went before Pharaoh. Amen. God has called the plagues upon the Egyptians. Pharaoh, in the beginning, he says, you know, we're not going to let them go. Then he says, okay, we'll let them go. And then he changed his mind. And he goes through all this until he gets to the end when the firstborn of the land dies, except for those that have the blood applied over that on the doorpost and above the doorpost. Amen. And then the Egyptians cannot get rid of Moses and the children of Israel fast enough, and they leave. And so now what does he get to do? Now he gets to lead some 2 million people, give or take, through the wilderness and into the promised land. And y'all know the nature of people. They all just easygoing, and amen, they don't complain, and everything, you know, it don't really matter how things go, they always just smile, and no, that's generally not the way people are. Amen, it just don't work that way, and guess what, for Moses, it didn't work that way, and amen, he wasn't just dealing with a house full of 5 or 10, or amen, just a community. I mean, what's the population of Ponce de Leon? Somewhere between 500 and 600. I mean, he wasn't even dealing with a group of that size, but I mean, somewhere around 2 million folks. And I mean, guess what happened when they got unhappy, when they complained? They talked to Moses. They complained unto him. And listen, just because we belong to God does not mean we will not suffer affliction. That trouble won't come, amen, because it will. And Moses asked a question here that no doubt has been asked many times by God's people. And in a certain situation when they walked and they felt that, boy, they were obeying and walking just where God would have them to be. And you know where Moses was? He was just where God would have him to be. But he asked the question and he said, why have you afflicted me? Why? Well, I'll tell you what. You know what happens with afflictions? They get heavy. They get hard. It's not easy to bear. I mean, listen, do we want blessings or do we want afflictions? Give me blessings. I mean, I like the good. The afflictions, I really, as far as finding any fun or anything that I enjoy in the affliction, I mean, it's not there. And so he asked God, why have you afflicted me? There's others in the Bible, Job, he and we'll may speak of him a little bit more later. But amen, he had some questions, some things that he didn't understand. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. There's going to be some things in your life and in my life that you're not going to understand. I mean, you're not going to understand here and now. I mean, there was those throughout Scripture that things happened that, I mean, when they happened and maybe for some years, they did not understand why that it's going on the way that it is. But let me tell you, God knows best. He does. Oh, we say that. And we say we believe that. Romans 8:28, still in the book, that everything that happens, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that called according to His purpose. It's in there. And we can quote it. Amen. We can quote it to the brother. When brother, you know, you need, here's what the Bible says. And amen, we can quote it to them. Because they're the one under the affliction, under the trouble. It's harder for us to hear when it's us on the other end. But guess what? It's still just as true. The truthfulness of that has not changed. Amen. It's just the point from which we stand and where we hear, amen, has changed. But God has not changed. But amen, listen, first of all, number one, the godly are afflicted in the path of duty. This is where Moses was. He was in the path of duty, but yet he saw affliction. Moses walked in the pathway of duty, but he saw affliction. And so we know that good men, good women, they suffer. Even, amen, in this life, I heard the preacher, he preached, you know, why does bad things happen to good people? But it's not just good people in the sense of what we may call good, but, amen, but godly people, because good men suffer affliction even when they walk in the path of duty. Walking where God would have you to walk does not exempt you. It didn't exempt Moses from having to deal with trouble and having to deal with afflictions, burdens, and they were heavy, and we'll see in a minute just how heavy they were. It's not that good men suffer affliction in general, but even when we walk where God would have us to walk, we still have to suffer. That does away with that preaching, that theme that's going out today that, you know, if you're suffering, something must be wrong. Moses was right where God would have him to be, but he was still suffering. Amen. Paul was right where God would have him to be, right in the path of duty. And amen. And he was beaten and left for dead and whipped and thrown in prison. But he was in the path of duty, but still he suffered afflictions. And so the godly are afflicted even when they walk in the path of duty. And secondly, that when we talk about afflictions, afflictions multiply problems. It multiplies the problem. Verse number 11, Moses here speaks to God and he said, unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laid the burden of all this people upon me? I'm going to be honest with you. Pastors and preachers, and as we go through life and when things happen, there is a sense in which we can feel that the burden of the church is upon us and on us alone. I've never had 2 million. I don't know. I may never preach 2 million as long as I live. But Moses had a great multitude, and here's how he felt. He felt like that all the congregation needed, it fell on him. It was his burden. It was his load. And therefore, it's hard for me to imagine how heavy that he felt that burden was. It was real. I mean, what does folk like to do? They need to drink and they need something to eat. Well, amen. God's been giving them manna. But you know what? They wanted something different. I know, nobody in here is like that. We don't want things, you know. Paul, in his ministry, he said that I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, to therewith be content. I'm going to confess again. Paul said, I have learned. I'm still working on that one. Amen. I'm still learning. Amen. I believe I'm better than I used to be, but amen, probably not where I need to be. Amen. He said, I've learned, and whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. But amen, this multitude was not content. And when they were not content, who heard about it? Moses did. He said in verse 12, you've put this burden on me that I've carried them in my bosom. Moses felt that he was carrying the whole load. Some of you felt that way at work and different places, you know, at times when toting a whole load. Ain't nobody else doing nothing. Well, amen. Moses felt as if he was toting the whole load. Verse 13, he said, they wept unto me, and what did they ask for? They said, give us flesh. We want some meat. We want some meat. Amen. God help us. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of fella. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like vegetables too, but amen. Where's the meat? We want some flesh. And so they cry unto Moses. Now, it's not like he can run down to the store, amen, head to the supermarket and get what they need. Amen. Moses said, how am I going to answer this? What can I do? They hadn't learned the lesson that Paul had learned, that to be content with those things that they have. What they could remember was, they remembered, well, you know what? When we was in Egypt, we ate a lot better than we do now. But amen, they forgot something. Amen, they would have been crying in Egypt because of the heavy bondage that they were under. You know, it's funny how when things change in life, what things we remember and what things we forget and how we remember them. Boy, when they was in Egypt, all they wanted to do, it didn't matter. Whatever it takes, just get us out. Amen. Let us be free. We want to be free from the bondage of these Egyptians, no matter what. And God delivered them. And God provided for them. They wore them shoes for 40 years. You know what they didn't do? They didn't wear out. I ain't never had a pair of shoes. Amen. It was that good. Amen. But they wore out. What happened when they needed water? God gave them water. Amen. It followed them in the desert. Amen. They had enough water not only for them, but for their cattle, for everything that was with them. And God provided them with manna. He delivered. But amen, it didn't take long before they forgot about that. And they cried out and they said, boy, we remember what we ate over there in Egypt. We want some flesh. And all of that burden fell on one man. It fell on one place, and it fell upon Moses. How hard is it for us to be content? How hard is it for us to be content? Amen. It's been just a few years ago, not too many. But they said they had a teacher. And the teacher told them this. You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit. They didn't get that lesson because they were in their tent door and they were crying. We might say, amen, they were pitching a fit. And so, amen, number three, resolving the problems of afflictions that affliction brings. Verse 14, Moses said, I am not able. I'm not able. Now then, when we read these verses, we'll realize this, that this was not Moses' finest hour. It just wasn't. And God help us. And God even help us when we look at other folks and we form opinions about other people off of one interaction, one encounter. Amen. They might have been having a Moses kind of day. We have to be careful. Amen. This was not the finest hour for Moses. Because when we look back down to verse number 15, see what Moses said. He said, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Kill me. How heavy was the burden? How did Moses feel with what he was having to deal with? He said there in verse 15, he's let God know, you'll be doing me a favor. He said, just take me out. Let somebody else deal with this. Because he said, I'm not able. I can't do it. He came to the place where he felt that he would be better off just to die, get out from under it, let somebody else deal with it, and he'd be better off. Now the 2 million folks wouldn't be better off. The problems wouldn't have gone away. But Moses just felt like, you know, I'll be better off. And he said, and there in that last part, that he said he wouldn't have to see his wretchedness. Speaking of either his condition or the condition as a whole, what he was watching, and here's what he knew. Now, he said something that was very wise there in verse 14 when he said, I am not able. Now, I want to think back for just a minute. You mean, Moses, you're telling me you was able to go to Egypt and to get them out? You did that? You was able to just on your own to go and to talk to Pharaoh and convince Pharaoh that if he didn't turn them folks loose, you was going to whip him and everybody else that was around. Did you do that, Moses? And then once they left and you got to the Red Sea, Moses, that was you that made the path through the Red Sea and you delivered and the Red Sea parted and they crossed the Red Sea. You did that, Moses? When they cried and they didn't have no water and I told you to smite that rock, Moses, are you the one that made that water come out of that rock? Every morning, Moses, when they go out there to gather up food, did you spend all night out there putting it out so they could go out there and hunt it like Easter eggs? Was that you? See, Moses didn't do any of that either. All Moses did was just did what God told him to do. Amen. He was obedient. He went. But he wasn't the reason that Pharaoh let him go. It wasn't Moses. Amen. When Moses got to the Red Sea, yes, he lifted up his hands, but amen, he didn't cause the waters to part. He didn't cause the manna to fall from the sky, and he didn't make water come out of the rock. See, Moses is not any different than us. There's a lot of things that we can look back at our life and see. Here's what God's done. Amen. All the way. But listen, it don't change the fact that we're still human. And that we get to some places in life where we kind of forget. And we say, God, I'm just not able to do this. Won't just take me out of the way. Let somebody else take it for a while. Let them have it. Well, listen, if God's called you to it, then God wants you to do it. Amen. And God's got His reasons. And yes, the burdens get heavy. The afflictions get heavy. But listen, it wasn't an easy task. Amen. Just getting them out of Egypt. And going through the plagues. And what about when they come to the Red Sea? What was that? Amen. And see, here's what we would think. We would think after we saw all of this, that we might think that, God, you know I'm not able, but God, how do you want to handle this? What do you want to do? But no, that's not what He said. He said, just, if I found favor in the eyes, He said, just kill me. Just get me out of the way. Let somebody else deal with this. I'll confess, sometimes preachers feel like, well, I tell you what, just let somebody else deal with it. We'll move on. Got to be greener pasture somewhere. No, not if God's called you to a path and to a way. Amen. He didn't promise that the journey was always going to be easy. But see, listen, Moses wasn't the only servant of God that ever felt this way. Elijah, amen, after he had went through with the prophets of Baal and had fire had failed and consumed all the prophets, he went and in just a little bit later in verse 19 and 4, it says of Elijah, but he went himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Elijah, he sat down under a juniper tree. Why? Because things hadn't gone the way he thought they would go. There had been, it looked like he thought, probably what he thought was the beginnings of a big revival. And it didn't turn out that way. What turned out to be was, amen, Jezebel told him, he said, before this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And he went. And amen, though he had just seen God destroy 450 prophets, he was concerned about a threat from Jezebel. I believe what he was really concerned about is he thought, boy, things is going to be different now. Things are going to be different now. But guess what? He found out there was still trouble. There were still afflictions. Jonah. Now then, Jonah's a little bit different because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach anyway in the first place. He didn't want to go. Why didn't he want to go? They were his enemy. He didn't want to go to preach to his enemy. They had done bad things to Israel. He didn't want to go because he knew that if I go and I preach, and if they repent, God, you'll forgive them. God help us. But he said in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Each one of these was God's man for the job at the time, but amen, this is the thoughts that they had and the things because of different reasons, varying reasons. But listen, afflictions bring trouble. I am not able. is a good starting point. It's a good starting point for whoever this morning. Because listen, when we recognize our inability, the next thing we need to do is recognize God's ability. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26 says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Paul said in Philippians 4 and 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Moses' help was in the same place that it had always been. It was in God. The same place that ours comes from is God's children. It's in God. And God does not let afflictions and burdens hide His face from us. And that's what happens sometimes. Well, things happen and the old devil says something along these lines. If God loved you, He wouldn't let this happen to you. Look what you've been doing. You've done everything that God, that you've been trying to walk and do what God wants, and look where you find yourself. And amen, that's exactly where Moses was. He was right where God wanted him. But he was also in the path of affliction. Not just in the path of God, but amen, he was in a place of great affliction. And if we're not careful, we'll let those afflictions hide the face of God from us, though we may have already walked through similar and maybe even worse circumstances. But amen, but this time it just seems like it's just heavier, the burden, the load. But listen, afflictions are not meant to destroy God's people. That's not the meaning of afflictions. The testing of faith. Psalm 66 verse 10 through 12 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." God, you brought us through the fire, you brought us through the water. But the psalmist said, but we've come out to a wealthy place. We've come out to a better place. Where did Job come out? Job came out, amen, to a place that was better. Amen. His vision, amen, his hearing, everything was better. He could see more clearly after he went through the afflictions. Afflictions promote perfection. Amen. It promotes perfection. Afflictions increase joy hereafter. Matthew 5, 10 and 12 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You see, God's persecution come, afflictions come, trouble come, but it's not to destroy. Amen. It's to test our faith. It's to promote perfection in us. It's to bring us to a place of joy hereafter. I watched just a little bit of the basketball tournament that's going on, and one of those teams that won yesterday, they interviewed one of those young men after it was over, and his team, which was the underdog, won, and he was crying, and she said, "Why the tears?" He said, "Because we've been through so much this year that was hard. We've been through so many struggles as a team, and things have happened, and it seemed like that, you know, just everything had been against them. But you know what? In the end, what they did that day, they won. You know what made it sweeter? You know what made it better? It was all that they had been through yesterday. In the days gone by." And listen, for us as the children of God, amen, when we walk in this life and we come through afflictions and we see things happen, amen, because of the afflictions, it makes the end result better. And what's the ultimate end result? But it's heaven itself. And when we've walked through the afflictions of this life. What did Paul say about the afflictions of this life? And I'm just paraphrasing, but he summed it up and he said, it's going to be like we didn't even have any afflictions. As heavy as they are now, as heavy as the burden, he said, there's going to come a day. Boy, when I see Jesus, he said that it's going to be as if there was no affliction. There was no trial. There was no burden. The afflictions make for joy hereafter. But listen, as we close this morning, the last thing is afflictions greater than one can bear. Moses thought his affliction was greater than he could bear, but it was not. He had God. The question is this morning, do we have God? Moses said, it's too heavy for me. He thought it was too heavy for him. He couldn't bear his burden alone, but guess what? Moses was not alone. If you're a Christian this morning, you don't have to bear your burden alone. We're not alone. But the sad state of man who does not know God as their Lord and Savior, we find this from Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. No person will want to pay for their sin debt themselves because it is a burden that's too heavy to bear. But I'm thankful this morning that we can be like Moses and we can have one that will bear our burdens and we don't have to bear them alone. Will you stand with us this morning as we sing this hymn of invitation? If you have a need, you come this morning.